concentration camp and was charged with the mission to carry the love and forgiveness of God to the people of Germany. Today, our guest, Nancy Briggs-Wooster, brings us the word of Corrie Ten Boom from her book, The Hiding Place.
It was in Munich that it happened. It was a bald and cut-head man wearing a gray overcoat and a brown hat crossed between his hands. The people were silent out of the basement room where I'd been speaking. It was 1947, and I had come from Holland to the fleet to Germany with a message. God forgives. And that was where I saw him. 1 minute, I saw the gray overcoat, the hat, and the next, the blue uniform, the hat with the visor, the skull and crossbones. Fräulein, he called, pushing forward against all the others. They all come rushing back to me. Huge room with its hard overhead lights, the pitiful pile of dresses and shoes in the center. Shame of walking naked past this man. And my sister, Betsy, like a little bird she was, her skin and bones and her skin was like parchment. Betsy. We reached with him. Fräulein, he said. You said in your talk that you was in the greatest book. I was God there. Since that time, I have become Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for all the cruel things that I did. But I would like to hear from your lips as well, Fräulein. Would you forgive me? And I stood there. I, whose sins had every day to be forgiven, and I could not. My sister had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible suffering with just a few words? Her awful death. As I stood there, with a cold gripping my heart, wrestling with the hardest thing I had ever had to do. I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a power of permission that we forgive those who have injured us. So I prayed, Jesus, I cannot. But you can. My father, who also died in a concentration camp, always said forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness, Corrie, is an act of the will. And that will can function regardless of the temperature in the heart. So I put out my hand, the gravity, wouldn't be extending it, and this warmth started in my shoulder, and it raced down my arms and sprang into my outstretched hands, and I said, I forgive you, brother, with all my heart. And we stood there, the former prisoner, the former prison guard, and I had never felt the love of God as intensely as I did at that moment. The Hiding Place was published in 1970. I was in high school. And although I wanted to be Corrie Ten Boom, I could be that woman. I could grow to be that woman. I could hide Nazi prisoner bullies who was trying to escape from them. I could hide them in my attic. I could forgive those who have injured me. It's so much harder to forgive those who injured you. And it is to forgive those who have injured someone else. It was in a little town called Pilot Point when it happened. My sister and I had traveled 60 miles to say our last respects to our step-grandmother, a true saint of the church. And on our way, we talked about whether or not he would be there. We knew he probably would. We would see him. I hadn't seen him in more than 20 years. in front of me in the chapel and never turned around. He stood across from me at the grave and never met my eye. After the funeral, we went for lunch to the home of my uncle, who has the very Texas name of Roy Dean. But we said Roy Dean. We went to Roy Dean's house, and the ladies of the church brought lunch. They brought fried chicken, they had potato salad, tea salad, cinnamon raisin salad, sauerkraut salad, and pecan pie. All of the cousins sort of reacquainted ourselves. We reminded each other what our names were, remembered the things we did when we were kids. We remembered the time that we met my cousin Brett. He couldn't walk the irrigation pipe across the big pen. He couldn't. And we remembered the time that we met my cousin Rodney, that he couldn't eat a calf cake. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it's a stuffing that you get to clean out, and it's made of cottonseed oil and alfalfa. And he did, at least for a little while. And then I saw him standing with his wife in the living room, all alone, balancing their paper plates. And I said to my sister, I'm going to go speak to him. She said, okay. She didn't offer to go, but she didn't need to. She'd let go of it long before. And his treatment of her had been much worse than his treatment of me. I was a grown woman with a home and a husband. She was just a little girl, 9 years old, when her mother died. She was the one who had to welcome her stepmother 6 weeks later. She was the one sent off to live with her brother when she couldn't get along with her stepmother. She had much more on her back. But I had gone to my father, and he was sending her away and begged him, please don't do this. Please don't. And he said to me, it's not your place to interfere. You need to just butt out. I don't need your advice. And I don't think of you as my daughter anymore. And he didn't. And so the only times that I had seen him in more than 20 years were at funerals. I didn't hear from him when I had my children. And he didn't come when my husband died. And I carried this anger and this resentment toward him and toward her. And now here it was, nearly 30 years later, and I had a chance to say my piece. And I knew what I was going to say. And I had practiced it for years. I'm going to start with Hamlet's soliloquy, the one that goes, oh yes, oh yes. The Bates funeral meets did boldly furnish forth the wedding banquet tables. I was going to tell him about how he had put us down, and I was going to tell her how she torn his family apart when she could have put it together. And I stood there, saying my speech over to myself, and I knew it wasn't what I was supposed to do. I knew it was wrong. I'd known for 30 years it was wrong. And so I prayed, Jesus, I can't, but you can. So I walked toward him, not knowing what I was going to say. But when I stood in front of him, I said, Daddy, I've always loved you. And he said, Mom, I love you too. And it wasn't true, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter because for 30 years, I had carried hatred and resentment toward him. It didn't touch him at all. But I had carried it. I had labored under it. And for all those 30 years,